Number two, yes, amen. Okay, last week we were talking about great, well, not last week, we had Brother Campbell last week. We were talking about great deception, and we finished with some verses in 2 Thessalonians, and as I came to those last verses, I thought Paul gives us here the clue as to how we will not be caught in great deception. I want to go over that because the clue, the cure, or whatever, the immunity, maybe that's the best word, the immunity of deception will be the love of truth. Amen. So, brethren, if we stick with the Word of God, we're going to have the truth. And if we stick with the Word of God and the truth, we will not be caught in this great deception. Now, let's go back to the Word and examine what the Word says here. Maybe we can start in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and start in verse 9. Now, remember, this second chapter is talking about the coming of the Lord. Amen. And he makes it plain here that the coming of the Lord, the great and terrible day of the Lord, had not come at the time this was written. Amen. And that there were two things that had to happen before this could come. Number one, there had to be an apostasy of the church, a great apostasy. Brethren, I believe that that has happened and is happening as we speak. There is great turning away, falling away, whatever term you want to give it. But the second thing that had to happen and has to happen is that the man of sin has to be revealed. Now, we're getting very close to a worldwide ruler, man of sin, being revealed. We do not know who he is. We know that in our, if we go back in history, we don't have to go back very far, but we go back insofar as my lifetime, that there have been some pretty good candidates have come on the scene that have wanted to be the man of sin, that have wanted to be the world ruler, and they were all groomed by Satan to take this position. Okay? Hitler was groomed. Stalin was groomed. The man in Japan, what was his name? Emperor, what was he? Hirohito or something like that, was being groomed. And not only were they being groomed, but they began to go about their conquest of the world. And, but it wasn't time. So we are getting close. I believe, of course, they must have believed in the 1940s, they must have believed that it was the time. But I do believe that we're coming into that time now. Amen. Well, let's read these verses. Even him, well, the last of the eighth verse again. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. Okay, in other words, there comes a time when he's going to be revealed. He's going to come forth. He's probably on the scene right now. He's probably busy somewhere. There are people that are working this out. People in the UN, people in the what's that other organization that's going on in Switzerland, Daniel, you know the name of that. What is it, Rita? Economic Forum, yeah, World Economic Forum. Okay, there's another one, another real good candidate coming forth there. So even him whose coming is after, oh, wait a minute, I didn't finish here. The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Brightness of his coming. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the brightness of the parousia of the Lord? His coming himself will annihilate all this darkness. You know, my mind cannot comprehend such a brightness. Let me say, my eyes can possibly imagine such a thing in a natural realm. In other words, as I look at the brightness of the sun, which I better not do, or it's going to make me blind, I can imagine that kind of brightness. I cannot imagine a spiritual brightness so intense that it will destroy all wickedness that it comes in contact with. It'll just burn it up. Amen. So that is a realm of righteousness that we have never seen. Everything that we have seen so far has been in a shadow of darkness. There's been a lurking shadows about, but it hasn't been 100% pure, even in our own life. So let me go on. Even him who's coming, and by the way, that word coming here in verse 9 is the word parousia. Satan is going to have his temporary parousia. He's going to have his 3.5 years. There's going to be people clapping and rejoicing and very happy that we now have a quote-unquote decent leader, somebody that believes like we believe, somebody that's going to implement all the things that we've been longing for, somebody that's going to give the gay rights their full measure of recognition, and somebody that's going to give us all the liberty to involve ourselves in any kind of sin that we want. All these things are going to be made legal, and we're just going to, you know, a great realm of population is going to rejoice greatly over this kind of thing. Say, this man of sin. See, the reason we're going to have a man of sin is because of what it says in Revelation chapter 12. There was war in heaven. Amen. We're involved in that war right now. And as a result of that war, working with Michael and his angels, amen, Satan and his crowd are cast out of heaven down to the earthy realm, down to a carnal realm. So Satan cannot carry out his business anymore, going to and fro, up and down in the earth as he had been. He's been cast out, he's been limited, and he's been brought into a carnal realm. So he has to express himself now in a carnal man and set up a carnal government of some sort in which he can now try to rule over the earth. So that's why he's going to be doing it in this manner. Amen? All right. So he has his parousia, his party, and his big party is going to last for 3.5 years, but then it's going to come to the end with the brightness of the coming of the Lord. Now, let's go on. Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. That word power is dunamis. It's natural physical manifestations of some kind. Amen? It's not authority power. It's dunamis power. Things that you can see, things that happen. Amen? And it's going to be with signs and lying wonders. Now, if you're not grounded in the Word of God, you're going to be caught by these things. Because this is going to be very religious. Very religious. You're going to see things that you believe are going to be miracles. And great men of God are going to be signing on to these things. Great men of God are going to be on their television programs, and they're going to say, this is the prophet that we've been looking for. This is the man of God. But he's not going to be a man of God. He's going to be a man of sin. Amen. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Now that's where we ended last week. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Amen. And in them that perish. All right. So remember how we talked the other week about, therefore God turned them over. Turn them in, turn them over in their mind. In other words, there's no more attempt to try to convince them that they're wrong. Therefore, God turned them over. I don't know if any of you have ever had an opportunity to talk to somebody that is totally deceived in their way of life. Totally deceived. Somebody that has, for some years, has chosen a lifestyle that is totally wicked, totally contrary to the Word of God. Somebody that's even religious, and they'll defend themselves with religion of some sort. And you think to yourself, how in the world can they believe that? How can their mind be so twisted as to believe that what they're doing is right? Now, I don't know, I'm sure you were a sinner one day, way back before you became a Christian. You can probably remember some of the days, some of the things you did. Some brother one time used to call that your hall of shame, not your hall of fame, but your hall of shame. And maybe there's some little reminders left in your life of the remnants of your hall of shame. Okay, you remember, but you know, I can remember things I did that I knew I was wrong in doing. But I just thought to myself, you know, this is wrong. Why am I doing this? On the other hand, I can remember things that I was deceived in doing. Let me ask you a question. Can you go back and think of a time that you were deceived? Well, I don't know. Let me try to give an example. You were about to make a decision. You were about to make a move, a major move in your life. And you were convinced, absolutely convinced, that that was the thing you should do. But there were other people that really saw that you were going down a bad path. You were headed in the wrong direction. And they did their best to try to turn you around. And you were hell-bent, I'll use that term, you were hell-bent to take that wrong road, to take that wrong path. Now, praise God, by the mercy of God, you either didn't take it or you got delivered from it somehow. But do you remember your mindset? Do you remember how you thought? Do you remember how difficult it was to convince you that it was the wrong path? What was it? It was a spirit of deception that had got a hold of you, a spirit. And in its place, you could have the spirit of truth. Do you understand? A spirit of deception comes from the devil. A spirit of truth comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was probably right there all along trying to whisper to you, this is the way. This is the way you should go. But we were squelching that spirit. We didn't want to hear that. We wanted something else. Amen? All right, enough of that. With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. In other words, they've been turned over. They're on their way to hell. Amen? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, I never looked this up before. And it came to me, look up that word love. What do you think it means, the love of the truth? To my surprise, I found that that word is agape. Come on, brethren. What does agape mean? What kinds of love are there, by the way? There are three, at least three, maybe four, but I'm aware of three. There are three different words, Greek words. Maybe we don't have that many in English, but there's three Greek words for love. The very top, the love of Christ, the love of God, unconditional love. I mean, it isn't, God isn't going to stop loving you. Even on the highway to hell, he still loves you. He doesn't love what you're doing. He hates what you're doing. It's an abomination. But you as an individual, he loves because he created you. He doesn't stop that. But you're still going to go to hell if that's the way you're going. All right, agape love. Phileo love. Yeah, I like you. You know, you're a good guy. You know, you're okay. I like to hang around you. I mean, I don't agape love you. I won't give you my unconditional love, but I like you. You're a good pal. You're a good buddy. You know, you're a good brother. And as long as we get along, you know, I'm going to like you. And then there's the Eros, E-R-O-S, Eros love. And that's lust. It's basically lust. All right. So what we have here is that we have to have an agape love of the truth. Not just that I like being in the truth. No, I am unconditionally sold out that I have to have the truth. I have to have it. And if there's any hint that I might not have it, amen. Oh, let's just stop here for a minute. Go ahead, Brother Edie, and share that with us, would you? Are you on, Brother Edie?
It is me. It's me.
Brother. Yeah. Pray for her. Let's hear this. What's going on?
Father, we bring Sister Lucy before you. Mm. Lord, we are asking for your touch on her. Mm. Lord God, we pray, oh God, that this infirmity that has persisted for a few days be taken away completely. Mm. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We ask, oh God, that your healing hands be placed upon her even now. Mm. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke this spirit of infirmity.
Yes, Lord.
We come against it in the name of Yeshua. We pray, oh God, that our healing will be instant right now.
Yes,
and she will rise up and take her bed and go home. In Yeshua's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. She's on her way to the hospital?
Yeah, she's on her way to the hospital. I just spoke with the husband. As I didn't see him on the platform, I put a call across to him. He told me that he may not be here. He has asked the hospital to come and pick her up, that she's been going, that is a kind of relapsing situation. She will be a bit well and go back, and just like that. So he can no longer manage her in the house. So they're about to go to the hospital.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just agree with this prayer today. We come to you. This is an urgent time, Lord. It's an emergency. And we just hold this sister before you now. Be merciful, O Lord. Be merciful, O Lord. We cry unto you today. Be merciful, O Lord, to this one. And
yes,
bring
Lord.
Quick healing to her now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
It just said that she's on her way to the hospital and that
yes.
She needs prayer. Amen. All right. Well, let's go back into the word again. Yeah, hold on a minute here. Let me turn you up here on the phone. Go ahead and say what you're going to say. Is that Karen? Hello? I guess that's it. I can't hear them on the phone anymore. Hello? All right. Well, let's go back into this then. The love of the truth, unconditional love of the truth. I can only remember that I must have had a love for the truth. I can only I can only remember the time that I was taught by the churches that we were going to have a rapture prior to the tribulation, that we were all going to be removed from the earth. It didn't feel good in me. Something didn't feel right. But all the people that I knew were preaching that. And however, I had a love for the truth, but I continued to believe that with some reluctance. I didn't believe it enough that I was going to teach it. But nevertheless, I said, well, apparently that's the truth, you know. But I need to be able to prove it if I'm going to teach it. So I went to this pastor who was a kind of like a father figure to me. And I said, brother, who are the elect? I'll never forget this. And he just spit the words at me. Well, the Jews, of course. Now, what that eventually showed me is that while he was a man who somewhat believed in the truth, he was not sold out to the truth. In other words, if the truth proved to be something other than what he believed and what his denomination believed, he was going to go with what the official word on that was. In other words, and the official word, by the way, was written in their manual. They had a little book that was their pastor's manual, and they outlined the things that they believe. And in that manual, it told the pastors that they must preach this at least once a year, that they're expected to preach that if they intend to be part of this denomination. So he was not, in other words, he was not totally sold out. He was a good man, by the way. I believe he was born again. Amen. I believe he went to heaven. I'm sure he's dead by now. He'd be over 100 years old. I'm sure he's there. He loved the Lord. But there was something about the truth that he was going to be reluctant to accept. Why? Because it was going to cost something. Okay? So let me read on down through here. Because they receive not the love of the truth. In other words, if you don't have that love for the truth, you're going to be exposed to deception. Not only that, you're going to be deceived. You're going to buy what they're doing. You're going to say, well, this must be the hand of God. It doesn't look like it, but it must be the hand of God. We're going to have to accept this as the hand of God. No, it will not be. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. In other words, God isn't just going to let them drift into this delusion. He's going to send it. He's going to make sure when this time comes, God is going to make sure that this thing is settled by a majority of the population of the earth. They're going to buy it. They're going to say, all in agreement, we buy this thing. This is it. This is the peace we've been looking for. I don't know what kind of crisis it's going to take to bring people to the point where they will unanimously agree, what shall I say, with the Democrats. That's Brother Mark. That's not the word of God. But that's what it seems like to me. How can 90% of the population of America believe that doctrine? But it's going to come to that, brethren. And the only way I can figure it out is that people are so deceived. I look at deception today. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe people with high education, people with doctoral degrees, people that practice medicine, that have gone to school for years and years to study. I cannot believe that a medical doctor will agree that he should do surgery on a person to change them from a male to a female. I cannot believe it. And I'm thinking, what kind of deception has come in? Has this person been turned over already? Has God sent strong deception? Now, these are just a few of the people. You know, I was reading another article. Somebody is incensed that the Supreme Court has made decisions in favor of somebody that designs websites that they are not forced to design a website for an LGBTQ, transgender, whatever, believing organization or people. And this person is giving all kinds of legal reasons and precedent and history and everything else why a Christian should be forced to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. I mean, if I were forced to do that, I would have to vomit. Literally. It would grieve me so bad. I would have to say, look, send me to prison if you want, but I can't do it. I will not do it. I will not violate my soul to that extent. I'm only talking about somebody on the other side has got such a violent deception to righteousness. They just hate it so much. And they'll make all kind of so-called logical discussions. Probably a third of our Supreme Court has already been taken over by that spirit. The last woman that was appointed to the Supreme Court, when she was being examined by the Senate, they asked her a question, what is a woman? Do you know she would not answer that question? She would not. She would not answer a question of, she would not define what a woman is. To me, it's a simple answer. You're born with XYZ, you know? All right, deception. Let me go on. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, I'm thinking about the lie, okay? Who was the first one that bought the lie? Eve. Now, you go back and read in Genesis again. Eve had been told what she should and shouldn't do. But there came one with an argument that was contrary to that. You know, God is holding out on you. He's not giving you everything you deserve. You really could be higher than you are. Why don't you go for it? Try it out. Find out. And Eve was deceived. She bought it. All right. So that lie is still out there. The lie that you can be God. You don't like what's in the Word of God. You can change it. You can rewrite it. God didn't really mean it that way. It's for another generation. They believed it back then, but we don't believe it today. So, you know, God, we should allow God to be updated to our generation. We have a new era of God. We have a new belief in God. Come on, God, get with it. Get with us, you know? All right, let me go on. I have a few other verses. The last verse. That they all might be damned, that means go to hell, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, that's the bottom line. They want pleasure in unrighteousness. All right, 1 John. Let's go to 1 John for a minute here. First John, not very far away. First John 4. First John 4. And we're going to look at verse 6. Now John was a man that wrote a lot about truth. I can't read everything that John said about truth, but let's pick up this verse here. We'll go back to verse 4 just to get the context. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is the he that is in you? It's Jesus Christ. Yeah. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. This is what I've been talking about. These people that want this unrighteousness, they are of the world. They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Well, at this point, it isn't quite tipped over to more than 50%, but it's getting there, getting closer. Amen? We are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. See, they won't listen to you unless they're of God. He that is not of God heareth not us. You can't convince them. You can't turn them. They're not open to the move of the Spirit of God. They've shut it off. They've quenched the Spirit. Many of them have probably blasphemed the Spirit. And once you've blasphemed it, you're done. You shut it off completely. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, John is saying that truth is a spirit. It's not a natural, necessarily logical thing. It's a spirit. You have the spirit of truth, or you have the spirit of error. Those that are on their way to hell, to perdition, they have a spirit of error, a spirit of lies, and they'll believe a lie. Politician will get up. He'll say certain things, they'll believe it. He might be totally lying through his teeth, but a certain number of people will believe it because it's a spirit of lies, a spirit of error. All right, another verse in 2 John. Let's go into 2 John. Just a few verses here. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. Not the antichrist, but an antichrist. An antichrist. So there are many antichrists already out there in the world. Verse 10, same chapter. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The word of truth that we believe. If anybody comes to you and brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Don't open the door. Amen. Neither bid him Godspeed. Well, good luck to you. All right. Yeah. God bless you. No, 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 no. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If I send that deceiver away from my door and I say, well, God bless you anyway, I better not say that. Because that makes me a partaker of what he's doing. All right, a couple of other places. Isaiah, little old brother Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. And basically, this is what we've been talking about all along that's happening. But we haven't exactly identified it like this. But let's come to verse, I'm sorry, I got the wrong book. I've got Solomon open. I'm not going to find it there. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. That put darkness for light, and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. This is what's going on in the world today. The most blatant examples are those that have come up in the last couple of years. This thing that a man is born of one gender and somehow believes that he can change what God made him as. This is blatant calling evil good. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. There is a verse in Jeremiah. It doesn't say it quite as strong, but let me read it to you. It isn't quite say it like this, but I think it's a good verse. Jeremiah 4:22. Well, let me go back to verse 19. This is what Jeremiah is crying about. Maybe you can identify with this. He says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. When he says bowels, he doesn't mean intestines, okay? He's talking about my inner being, my heart. I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish. And that word sottish means stupid. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Brethren, those of us who have the Spirit of truth in us, this has got to grieve us to no end to see what's happening to society. Now, Paul was talking about what is happening in society when he was talking about those who are on their way to destruction. Okay, now what about believers? Matthew 24. Several places, Jesus talked about deception. Verse 4. But Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now he's talking to the, now he's not talking to the world. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to his disciples. If you please, he's talking about to his 12 disciples. Do you think Peter could be deceived? Do you think John could be deceived? Do you think Matthew could be deceived? Oh, by the way, I think they were. For a while anyway. Not for long. But Judas was deceived. He was totally deceived. Amen? He's warning them. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now that they're not saying I'm Jesus. They're saying, I am the anointed one. I have the gifts. I am the great prophet. I am the great evangelist. Listen to me, people. Come on. I've got 3,000 people in my congregation. And they're all swooning over everything that I have to say. And they're just so delighted. Come on. I am the anointed one. And they shall say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Just a couple of verses. Look over in verse 24. Well, let me go back to verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, brother, that and the verse 22, except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That clearly tells you the elect will be here during the tribulation. This whole chapter is about tribulation. This whole chapter, my favorite chapter in Matthew, clearly tells you the elect will be here. So the only way that you can get out of this and believe that the elect will not be here is you have to redefine who the elect are. And you have to say, well, that's the Jews, of course. Amen? Amen. So, and by the way, when they say that we're going to be raptured, they say that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out. Amen. And so during that time, these Jews are going to be saved. Well, now tell me something. If those Jews would not be saved in the presence of the Holy Spirit, how are they going to be saved in the absence of the Holy Spirit? Come on, it doesn't add up. It's deception. So don't be deceived. The warning is very clear to Christians, to the elect. Now the elect is not just to, in this is my understanding, okay? Not just every born again believer, but didn't he use the term the very elect? Where is that? Oh, here it is, verse 24. They shall deceive, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So we have the elect and we have the very elect. Why would he put the word very in front of the elect? I mean, the super elect. I mean, the really elect. The sons of God. The man-child company. The 144,000. Brethren, you and me, the people we're preaching to, the holy place people. Can we be deceived? Can our ministry be deceived? Could our prophets be deceived? See, beware. Jesus is warning the very elect. Let me read something out of John 18. Jesus is in front of Pilate. I thought this was a very good discourse here between Jesus and Pilate. Pilate is going to turn him over to be killed. And Jesus is having a discussion with him. Do you realize that Jesus is trying to get Pilate saved here? Yes, he's standing before the man who is going to order his death. And he's talking to Pilate. He's not afraid of Pilate. I mean, he's God. Let's just look at this here. What verse was? Starting at 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said to him, it is not lawful for us to put a man to death. Oh, they knew what they wanted. They didn't just want him locked up, they wanted him killed. All right? That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said to him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? How'd you find out I'm king of the Jews? Is this something that you believe? Or did you hear that from somebody else? Now, why would Jesus ask Pilate a question like that? Except to stir something in Pilate. Hey, you know, there is a king in front of you, Pilate. Do you realize that? There's a king of the universe standing right there in front of you. What are you going to do with him? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, hallelujah. Pilate. You've got your kingdom from Rome. My kingdom goes beyond this. Do you know who's standing before you? The king of the universe. My kingdom is not of this world, Pilate. Amen. Then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. He put the words right back in his mouth, didn't he? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, I don't know that Jesus said that to anybody else but to Pilate. Those that are of the truth, hear my voice. Amen. Hello. If you're of the, if you have the Spirit of truth in you, you will hear the Holy Spirit. You will hear the voice of my beloved. You will hear it. You won't have a problem hearing it. Now, those that are of the truth. Now, here's Pilate again. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Pilate didn't know what truth was. A simple question. Supreme Court justice. What is a woman? I can't answer that question for you. Pilate, what is truth? Well, I don't know. The truth is standing right in front of you, Pilate. The man that's standing there is truth. Amen. What is truth? Amen. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Somehow there was a grain of truth in Pilate. But he was going against his conscience because of the pressure of the people, the pressure of his political pressure and expectation of the emperor. He was going to let this thing get out of hand, get a riot going of the Jews, a rebellion, and old emperor was going to come down on him. No, he couldn't do it. But you know what? I really believe that Pilate knew deep down inside, he knew the truth. Even his wife tried to warn him, have nothing to do with this man. I've had some terrible dreams about this. All right, so there's Pilate. Another verse in John while we're here, and we're almost finished here. John chapter 8, where Jesus talked about truth. John chapter 8. Let's look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, there were Jews, aside from the disciples, that did believe on him. But this discussion is going to be taken over by Jews who didn't believe in him. So listen to the response now. He was addressing this to those that believed on him. And he said, and ye shall continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Okay? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Somebody explain that to me. How does knowing the truth set you free? You ever think about it? Come on, we believe it. But think about it. How does knowing the truth make me a free man?
You're no longer deceived.
There you go. Okay. You're no longer deceived. Now, here's an interesting, I looked up the word free. It means liberate. It means to liberate. In order to liberate, it means that I have to have been bound into something. And the bondage is in my soul. Well, I might have got my body bound up in things too, but that started off in a bondage in my soul, in my belief, in my conscience. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall liberate you. Now, here comes the unbelieving Jews. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage." Now the word bondage is the Greek word for slave? Doulos. What they're saying is, we were never slaves. Oh, but you were. Your ancestors were back in Egypt. But they're saying we never were. Okay. Well, you got to get your history right, fellas, because you have been. And also, by the way, to old Nebuchadnezzar, you were in bondage to Babylon also. Your ancestors were. Okay. We are Abraham's seed, and we were never slaves to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, "Verily I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is a servant," and that word servant is again slave of sin. A slave of sin. Can you remember a day of your bondage? You were a slave of sin, and you were under bondage. You were under deception to believe that you were going the right path, but you weren't. I should say I wasn't, but it was you too. We were all there. Amen. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That means totally free, released, liberated. I like that word, liberated. That's a good word. Liberated has to do with liberty, doesn't it? See, the U.S. was formed on the basis of liberty. Liberated from what? The bondage that England was putting on the people over here on this side of the pond. They wanted to be their own masters and not be a slave to old King, whatever his name, George, over there. You know what? Nigeria must have gone through the same thing at one time. Old King, whoever, they had you guys under the same kind of bondage. Well, did it get better? Well, what we have, you know what? What we have now, not much better than they have over in England. What did it gain us in the long run? Anyway, beside the point, one last thing, since we're talking about truth, let's look at what Revelation says about liars, and we'll finish with that. Revelation 21. I remember looking this up a long time ago, and I thought, I'm going to find every place here that talks about lying. So let's start in Revelation 21. Start in verse 8. Well, let's take the positive side here first. Let's start in verse 6. And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh." You mean there's a condition here? Oh yeah, there's a condition. You have to overcome. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." Does that mean that he that doth not overcome will not inherit all things? Well, it must. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But here's the other side of the coin. But the fearful. What's that word fearful mean? Cowardly. The cowardly. Unbelieving. The abominable. Now, we've spent some time defining what abomination is, haven't we? Old Testament, New Testament. There are certain sins that are abominable to God. He hates them. Abomination means it stinks. It smells like a skunk. Get it out of the house. The abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and that whoremongers is the farm, the, I'm trying to think of the Greek word, the porneia, people that are involved in sexual sin, and sorcerers. Now, the word sorcerer here is pharmakia, and the word pharmakia means drugs. And of course, they conducted their witchcraft and their sorcery by the use of drugs, but it's still here as the word pharmakia, sorcerers, the druggies, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. There's the word I was looking for. Liars shall not have their part in the, oh, shall have their part, I'm sorry, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we're all going to go through the first death of the natural man, the body. But we don't have to partake of the second death. All right, so there's the list of what's going to the lake of fire. All right, that's verse 8, verse 27, same chapter. And there shall in no wise enter into it, this is the temple, this is verse 22, I saw no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. It's the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Okay, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. There's that word abomination again. Or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, he could have just said only those that have their name in the Lamb's book of life, but he mentioned two things again, abomination and making a lie. Now, presently, I don't know how you can be involved in high-level politics without making a lie. Probably on either side. You might be able to run for dog catcher or something like that without having to lie. I think probably our little village, I think the gal that ran for mayor, I think she's a good gal. She probably didn't lie to get into her position. I think she's a believer. Amen. But you know what? That whole network, making a lie, that means you're creating it. You're designing it. You've thought it through. You know, when you say this lie, you're going to have to tell the next one to support it. You're going to have to keep, you know, this is the way police trap people, criminals. The criminal tries to lie to get out of it. He's got a story to tell the police of why he didn't commit the crime. He's got an alibi. He's got all these things to tell about where he was and what he was doing, and that he's got witnesses. So they let it go for a day or two, and then they come back and they start asking him the same questions all over again. Well, he forgot how he made that one lie, and he says it a little bit different this time. And they catch him. No, that isn't what you said. Here, we'll play the recording. You said doesn't. What I really meant, no, you lied. Now, if you're being interviewed and you tell the story as the truth, and they come back and they ask you again the same questions, what's going to happen? The same story. Because this is my memory. If there's a part I didn't remember, I'll just say I don't remember that part. But I'll tell you the same story. You ask me the third time, I'll tell you the same story. This is my story. This is the truth. So we have the spirit of truth in us. Now, one more verse, and then I'll quit. Chapter 22, verse 15. Why is this mentioned so many times in the closing of Revelation? I have to read the verse before it first. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. By the way, it isn't God's intention to permanently keep us away from the tree of life. He locked it off from Adam and Eve because of their condition. They couldn't go back and partake of that in the condition that they were. Because in their sin, they would live in perpetuity. But now that we've been cleansed, amen, and purified and sealed, we can partake of the tree of life, amen. And they may enter in through the gate into the city, right? That gate was guarded by the angels with a sword that went every way. That old eastern gate, locked up, can't get in. Now the gate is opened again, all right? But what? For without are dogs and sorcerers. That's pharmakia again, same word. And whoremongers, and that is porneia. And murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, here, it's not just making a lie, but whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I didn't look that word loveth up. I don't know if it's agape. I can't imagine you could agape a lie. But in other words, they prefer the way of lying. Have you ever met people that are addicted to lies? Well, you people that have been out in the world, surely you have encountered people that are like this. Every time they tell a story, they tell it different. By the way, we have a president who is known for telling lies. He went over there to Hawaii where they had the big fire. And there were people that were predicting what he was going to say. And sure enough, he did. He had some little fire in his kitchen one time. Something caught fire in his kitchen. I don't know what it was, lightning or something. It wasn't a big deal. It was quickly put out. But he went over there and told them that his house almost burned down, that he knew what they were going through, and And what a terrible disaster it was in his house. It wasn't that bad. But he does that all the time. It's predictable. Amen. So there are people who love and make lies, and they're not going to be in the kingdom. That's all the verses I've got for today. I'm going to stop, and I'm leaving it on. And I think we have things to share here today, don't we? Amen. God bless.
I just wanted to add something about the truth. When Mark was talking about Pilate, and Pilate said, well, what is truth? And the thoughts were coming to me, the scripture that says about Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, if you shall know the truth shall set you free. If you know Jesus, you will be set free. You will be delivered. You will be liberated because he is the truth. Amen.
Amen, Rita. Very simple, isn't it?
I had a couple thoughts come to mind. When we were talking about the lie, you know, if you go back in the garden, Eve said, God hath said, we shall not partake of this particular tree. And Satan comes along and he says, hath God said?
Yes.
It's just as easy as that. God said, hath God said? And it made me think about how so many of the problems of today could be solved that simply. For instance, lesbianism and gay. You know, this big controversy about, is this okay or is this right? I mean, there it is right there in written form in the Bible. Man laying with man is an abomination. That ought to solve it right there. So you know what it shows us? What the problem really is. The problem is godlessness. That's the whole problem between about all this ridiculousness that's going on right now in this world and in our political system. It's as easy as that. They don't believe in God. The Bible means nothing to them because they don't even believe God is real. They might say they do, but they don't. Because all these problems could be solved. Just open it up, look it right there. There's the answer, end of the story, you know. And then the other thing that came to my mind a little bit was when we talked about the truth shall set you free. Well, the scripture came to my mind, and I probably won't quote it exactly, but it says something about they were in bondage all their life to the fear of death. And, you know, I think that the fear of death puts us in a certain bondage. And I don't claim to be there yet, you know, but I don't think Jesus, when he stood there before Pilate, I don't think he had 1 ounce of fear of death. And I think all through history, there's been a lot of Christians that didn't have the fear of death. You know, they were happy to die, as a matter of fact, if that was going to give them a better resurrection, you know, because they would not bow down to Satan. And I remember the story of Joan of Arc. You know, they burned her at the stake. She was a Christian woman. And when they were lighting the fire, she said to the guys, better stand back. You might not know God. I don't think she was afraid of that fire, and I don't think she was afraid of death either. And so I think that's a bondage that to some degree we're all in, you know, and if we can really fully, totally believe God, I think we can no longer be afraid of death, and that might really change how we act in life quite a little bit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike.
It muted it. Oh, are you wanting to say something?
Yeah, I was really thinking about when you were sharing about the deception, and what do we see, and what is taking place, even before we see the deception is coming forth. And I believe that if deception, spirit of deception, is coming and he is hitting the group, it will hit a group of people that have compromised spirit. Those who are making compromise, they will be hit quite hard in this, because it is. When I think about it and really look into the spirit after the answer for it, that it will go step by step from compromised spirit into deception, and deception will cause rebellion. And when you were speaking about all these things, Mark, it came really to me about Isaiah chapter 30. And it is verse 1-3. And he says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. That they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin." So there is a step of rebellion there, but it's a confusion and it's deception. And in verse 2, he says what it will lead to it. That work to go down to Egypt. You see that it will cause us to go down to the world, the carnality, and have not asked it at my mouth. They have not been asking about the word of God, not been leading by his word. To strengthen themselves. There we have it. They wanted to strengthen themselves. They are not asking for the strength of God in their heart. They are choosing. It's deception. And he's not speaking about some strange people. He's speaking to his people at this time. And he said, strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. So here we have a people that is putting their strength in Pharaoh. And he said, and trust the shadow of Egypt. And we maybe have to stop and think a little bit about when we come to election in our countries. What do we do? Choose we right or left? Or do we make up our mind and stop these things and stand as a believer of God Almighty and go before him and put our vote in him, asking him and tell him and pray to him, I am not going to vote on man. I'm not going to vote on right or left things in the political things. I'm not going to put my trust in that. I'm going to put my trust in you, my God. And I'm not going to choose anything else than you in this time. I'm going to take a step away from the things and choose you and choose your voice in this time. And I'm going to do it in that way that I ask you to bring forth in my country what will benefit your will and what will cause your voice to come forth in this country. and what you have to do to put tribulation and everything that you need to let the people cry out to you in this time. And we see in this chapter, it is really, I saw it covered so many things that you said, Mark. In verse 19, he speaks about, for the people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. He's speaking to us. He's speaking about you. He's speaking about me. This is our place, brethren, to be in Zion, in Jerusalem. And he's speaking in this verse, and also in verse 20, he's speaking about that we are going to hear his voice. And he says, for the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. Thou shall weep no more. So he is really giving us a great, great hope. You shall not weep anymore. And he said, he will be very graciously unto thee at the voice of thy cry. So he is really asking that there should be cry rising up in our heart. And he said, when he hear it, he will answer it. So he's not waiting. He's going to answer it right away when he hear it. We are coming at this time, brethren. And you can see that in verse 20, he says that he shall not let teacher be removed into corner anymore. But thy eyes shall see thy teacher. So what a time we have. And in verse 22, he says, and thy ear shall hear the voice behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When ye turn to right hand and when you turn to the left. This is a promise, but it is a warning in the beginning of this chapter. We have to take the warning. When we hear the word of God and when it comes forth in prophecy, it comes as an encouragement, as a blessing, but it also comes as a warning. It comes all together. And when you spoke about it, Mark, that he is going to come and he is going to be, the enemy is going to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming, that it blessed me so much, because just look at in verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. What a brightness. The moon shall shine forth as a sun, and the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. What a brightness. What a brightness in the day, and what a brightness in the night. It means that there will be something that is removed in the things. When the moon is going to shine forth as a sun, it means that darkness is gone. It is no more darkness. The light is destroying the darkness. The sun is going to shine sevenfold, and the moon is going to shine like the sun. It means that the darkness is gone. It is his coming. It is his day. So it really blessed me and put me really into these things. So thank you. And in verse 29, he says, he shall have a song. And we know what that means. We know what kind of song that is. In the Revelation chapter 14, they were standing on the Mount Zion with a lamp, and they were singing a new song. This is a song in our heart that no one can remove. So blessing to you all. Amen.
Yeah. The light of the moon shall shine as the sun. The moon is the church. The sun is the Lord. The moon is going to be the perfect reflection of the Lord. The church will be the Lord, equal to it. Not less than what God is doing, but fully. The fullness of the Lord will be manifest in his people.
Can I just say
something? Yes, please, Sonia.
Yes, it was the word we received today in our church. It was the for, actually, it was the word for children, but we talk about when Israelites were leaving Egypt, and that last night they had to kill the lamb and to put the blood of the lamb on the door. And there is the verse for it, and it's in Exodus 12, 13, I think. Yes. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. As I understand it, if we are under the blood of Jesus, so these things that will come on the Egypt will not come on us. And this is very opposite, like then the rapture. Do you know that you are like that? God will pass over you. He will pass over you, and the evil things will not touch you. So you are in the middle of it. Yes, they were in the middle of the night when that spirit of death was going from God. It was was going to kill the firstborns. Yes, but they were protected because they applied the blood the right way. Yeah, and that's what that I will pass over you, and that was really a funny thing, because in the beginning of our meeting, one brother was praying. I said, "Oh God, don't pass over us," you know, like in a good way. Yes, when you want God to touch you and you don't want him to, when you don't want to be passed by God. Yeah, but this is the opposite thing when God is saying, "I will pass over you," like I will not allow the plague to come into your house to destroy you. So this passing over, like, yeah, then we are under the blood. Do you know what I want to say?
Yeah. I will pass over means I will cover you.
Yes, exactly.
I will overshadow you.
It doesn't mean that we are not in the, and it means that we are in the middle of destruction, but we are protected. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Sonia.
Amen. What really, really hit me when you were sharing this, Sonia, was that all those people that went through the Red Sea, they had just one thing, comment. They had the lamp within them. And all those who was destroyed in the Red Sea had one thing in common. They did not have the lamp. So we have this lamp within our life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, in other words, they had eaten the lamb, not only put the blood on the door, but they had eaten the lamb, and the lamb had become part of them.
Amen.
I had something to share with when you were talking, Mark, about how do you think that 90% of the world's population could be deceived? Well, how many of you know what predictive programming is? It's something that Hollywood uses when they make their movies, because they actually foretell what the plans of the future are going to be through Hollywood and through the movies. And it's been known for quite some time that there's this Illuminati playing card game that the rich elites play with one another. And one of their cards is they're going to fake a rapture. And they have the technology to do this already. They can do like holographic signs and wonders in the skies. They have, all over in China, they got like this building where a whale jumps out of the side of it in thin air. So I do believe that this is something they're going to do is fake the rapture first, and then immediately following that, they're going to fake an alien invasion and try to claim that the aliens seeded the earth with humans, and this is where the false end time religion starts to come in. I know it sounds kind of conspiracy theorist, but there's plenty of evidence out there to support it all. So,
amen. Whatever it is, it's going to be a lie.
Absolutely. The grandest lie ever told.
I believe we'll recognize it when we see it. With 100% predict just how it's going to come, but I know that if we have the spirit of truth, we will recognize it when it hits.
Just imagine people out there that believe in the pre-trib rapture that are going to witness this thing, and when they find out they've been left behind, imagine how many people are going to bow the knee to Satan then.
That's interesting, Jeremy, about the alien thing, because you've probably been seeing in the news lately how all this UFO stuff is all being talked about right now, you know?
It's been ramping up for years, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big thing right now.
Yeah.
I heard a story from many years ago about the truth and the lie. And it was like that. The lie came to the truth one time and said, "Shall we go down to the beach and take a bath?" And the truth said, "Yes, why not?" So they went down to the beach, and the truth took the clothes off and put it on the sand and jumped into the sea. And the lie took the clothes of the truth and dressed it and ran away. And it had been like that since. The truth is naked. And the lie is covered with truth.
That's a very good story, Daniel.
Yeah, I think that there is the truth didn't want to take the dress from the lie. Yes, so she decided to stay naked.
Well, she is what she is. She doesn't need any covering. She's just, there she is. Nothing to hide.
That's kind of the way it is in our country today. The things that are happening, the gross darkness, the politicians, what they're doing, the corruption that used to be behind the scenes and hidden is no more. It's out in the open for anybody who wants to see it. The problem is so many of the, you know, the populace just doesn't care, or they side with it, or the media covers it up. But anybody that wants to know the truth, it's quite obvious what's going on in America today. But, you know, I was looking when Daniel was reading in Isaiah, a couple of verses said that in verse 2, 30 verse 2, it says, those who go down into Egypt. And again, later on, it said the same thing. In verse 31. Woe unto them who go down into Egypt. So that tells me that, you know, it's people that have come up out of Egypt, you know, which would be believers, you know, that they're not, that we should not go back down into Egypt. You know, if you look back in the Old Testament, God's people that went down back down to Egypt were mainly because of famine. But they were not directed to go down to Egypt. That I'm thinking of Elkanah. That turned out bad when he went back to Egypt. He lost his life along with his sons. I think it was Jacob that also went down to Egypt, but it wasn't of God. And again, it turned out badly. So what I'm seeing here, what I'm thinking is that when the hard times come, the times of famine, the times of great pestilence and destruction, we have to stand fast where we are in God. Many believers will be tempted and will actually go back down into Egypt, back into the world. And Jesus made it quite clear. You know, he said many times, he warned against that. One of the verses I'm thinking of is, any man who wants putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. And then, of course, it says that, you know, if anybody would be my disciple, he's willing to give up his life. Anyone who seeks to save his life will lose it. So seeking to save your life, going back into the world, you know, will be destruction. So again, it says that, you know, when he comes back on the earth, will he find faith? So you think to yourself, well, why wouldn't he? You know, all these people that believe in Jesus and read the Bible, why wouldn't he find faith? To me, that, you know, at first you would think that's a strange thing to say. And yet, because he said it, you know, we have to know that perhaps there won't be a whole lot of people left that walk in truly in the faith. So I guess what I'm saying is we have to be warned. No matter how bad it gets, don't look back. Don't turn back. Stand fast in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen.
You know, brethren, I had something on my phone yesterday that kind of startled me. You know, I don't know if there's anything to this or not, but I had an announcement saying they were going to have some sort of alert system that they're going to test sometime, I think, in October 4th. And it's supposed to go over the telephones, the cell phones, the TV, and internet and laptops, you know, your computer and everything. They're supposed to have some sort of alert system. And I'm thinking, I don't know if this is just in the US or if it's just New York or what, or if it's worldwide. But I don't know what they've got planned that they think we need this alert system through all of our connections. I don't know. It's just something that caught me and I'm thinking, what are they planning?
Is this something in Europe too?
I don't know.
Yeah, yes. They have tested it here in Norway, and they put like a Harlem that every mobile phone was something at the same time.
And, so now they can forcibly speak to practically everybody in the world and give a certain message,
yes,
simultaneously to everyone.
Yes.
But doesn't this set the thing up for the man of sin?
Yeah. Well, I
they've basically been doing that here with Amber Alert for a long time. If there's a child stolen or, you know, whatever's going on, they'll ping our phones and, you know, tell us about that. So that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, it's we are coming quite close to the to this point that we will see everything coming under quite strong control. But it have to come and it have to be, because when this army of darkness is rising up, the army of light is going to rise up in the same time, brethren. And when we see the power and authority of this world coming together in oneness, we have to realize when we speak about it in Revelation, he says in chapter 12 that he know that he have a short time. So he's saying that he know about that. So this force and what is driving this force in the earth today, they have a knowledge, and they have a knowledge of that they have a short time. So they know it. And so they are just going to create so much mass as they can. But in this time, when we see these things come to the fullness, fullness means fullness. It means that everything is coming to fullness. And when the spirit of darkness is going to come to fullness, the spirit of Christ is coming to fullness too. And it is a battle that is not something that the darkness can win. And they know it. They know that they have a short time. And they are creating a quite strong unity in the whole world. And they call it unity. But in my mind, God is gathering them together. Because how is he going to burn them and put the fire on them if he is not going to gather them together first? So they think that this is unity between them, but they don't see that it is a God in our Heavenly Father. He's binding them together. They call it unity, but they are bound together by God Almighty, because he is going to remove them. And so I have so great hope. I have been following so much of these things, so I am totally going away from putting my trust in man, putting my trust in political things. When I look to this things that we call United Nations, do you know that there is an altar in that building? And that altar is a black altar. And it means that every political man, every political party in the world, they have to submit to these things. And when you go into the history and start to search out the fact and the beginning of these things, it all lead to a same point. And it's Lucifer. It doesn't mean if you vote to left or right, don't give your vote to it. don't give your authority to man. Don't give authority to anyone except God Almighty. Trust in Him. So I'm totally fasting on these things.
Thank you, Daniel. I think the word there is the right, even though the left is totally wrong, the right is not going to save you either.
Can I just add to that too, what Daniel was saying? I was thinking a lot about this myself just over the last couple of weeks, and it seems like, you know, like just like you were saying, Daniel, just put your faith in God and Jesus, because if you do vote for one of these people, then you basically are signed on to everything that they, the agenda they push forth, and you're kind of taking responsibility for it too. And so I just came to that conclusion myself that I'm not voting anymore. So, amen.
Amen. Yeah, brethren, can I say something here? Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Go ahead.
Yes, brother. I'm saying the conclusion of all this is the choices we made. Either the love of the truth will keep us on the right side of God in safety, or the choice to be deceived. One could choose to be deceived, and all these things that we are, all the plagues that we are hearing of that are yet to come will be clearly manifest. So in my heart, I'm thanking God for a people that have chosen to love the truth, because the love for the truth will keep us in safety. Harder times are coming. Stranger things are going to happen than we've ever seen. But the love of the truth will keep us safe. And anyone that chooses to be deceived will go the other way. So I think that's the way, brethren.
Amen. Yeah, Brother Edie, is that, are you on? Do you have any update for us? Brother Edie, can you hear?
Maybe he wasn't on.
I just wondered if Brother Edie has an update for us. Guess he can't hear me. Lucy? All right. Well, let us know if there's any. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Okay. No. Okay, did I unmute? Hello?
Hello, can you bring us an update on how things are going with Lucy?
Yeah, she's brought her to the emergency. I've done some tests. She has malaria, and they have started treatment, and she's on infusion. But from between house and here, I think she's better.
Okay. So better. Malaria can be treated.
Yes. It's been treated. They've already started out on assessing it.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Keep remembering her.